Welcome to What's Eric Eating? Culture Map's bi-weekly look at all things Houston bars and restaurants. I'm your host, Culture Map editor Eric Sandler. This is a show where we talk about some news in the restaurant world as well as a meal that we have had recently. To do that, I am joined by my co-host this week. She's an expert on food, wine, and good times. Felice Sloan, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Hey. I am amazing.
I'm glad to hear that. Thanks for doing this. Let us dive right into the news of the week. Topic number one, Dozier's Barbecue in Fulshear announced that it will close the end of this week on March 30th. Owners Jim Cummins and Steve Barr said that they have been suffering from declining revenues ever since they purchased the restaurant in 2019. Dozier's is a restaurant that we've covered on the show occasionally. Jim Buchanan, their former pitmaster, had been on the show a few times to talk about his work at Dozier's, his history in the military, a couple other things. You know, we've been out there for different events. Mm-hmm. Felice is as our ambassador to Katy in All Points West. I can't really think of anyone better equipped to comment on what Dozier's has meant sort of to the Houston barbecue community and sort of what your take on its closing is.
You know, I feel bad because I like those guys. You know, I have a love for the barbecue community, all those things. And I hate it for that part of Houston. With that being said, and I love the location, right? I love the location. It's a great vibe. It's good. All those things. With that being said, I'm not surprised. Just, you know, going out there, the crowd being consistent. Sometimes it's busy, sometimes it's not busy. And I guess the inconsistency maybe of the barbecue for me. And as a barbecue, so it's a barbecue destination. It's never been a barbecue destination. Even though I'm out there, I never go out there to go get barbecue. I never do. I go out there like, oh, if I'm out there or if like someone's going out there or they're having something, I never think to go out there for barbecue. So with that being said, that's why I say I'm not surprised, because it's not top of the brain. And why is it not top of the brain? Because when I think of barbecue, I'm going to the places that are always consistent, that are always giving, that I'm like, they're top of the brain. And I can rat off about 6, 7, 8 of those, and they're not in the top 10. That's all.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's pretty brutally honest, frankly, but I think that's not an unreasonable perspective for anyone that's sort of Katy or East. Going to Fulshear is a destination. And so
right,
you have to, to justify that in the same way that we go to places like Corkscrew in Spring or Tejas out in Tomball, or even some of these other, you know, the original Truth out in Brenham, even back in the day before they opened in Houston, your barbecue has to be really exceptional to sort of justify not going to something closer to home. And
then
so
I'm going to drive. Yeah. I'm going to get right in the car and I'm going to make it a destination and think nothing of it. Right.
Right. And so if you feel like you had better barbecue that's either closer to home or more in line with the other places that you wanted to be on any given day, then I think Dozier's could be a tough sell. I think the thing that's the most surprising to me about this is that Fulshear, by all accounts, is booming. Right. People are moving out there in a way that they have not, certainly when we were growing up or even, you know, 10 or 15 years ago. And so I would sort of have hoped that the increased local population would be interested in, you know, you can say maybe it's not a top five or even a top 10 Houston barbecue joint, but it's certainly a pretty good barbecue joint. You know, they made honorable mention in the Texas Monthly list, you know, sort of that second
50
to 100. I mean, And so I just expected better from the people of Fulshear, but I also kind of wonder if, the original supporters, the people who had been going to Dozier's going back all the way into the 60s, sort of felt uncomfortable with the changes, right? Like you
There's
want
a
to
lot of
upgrade the
changes. Yeah.
barbecue, right? You want to upgrade the barbecue so that it's better quality and more in line with contemporary standards. But then, these old school folks that have been going there for years maybe can't relate to like that's not the kind of barbecue that they like.
Right.
And
Yeah, they
so
don't
I
like
don't
it.
know.
Yeah.
So I don't know how you balance that. I mean, it's kind of what's happened to Good Company, right? It's like it's not relevant in the barbecue scene because it's so old school, but it is still very popular, right? Like every time I
Right.
drive past Good Company on Kirby, there's a crowd out front. So there are people who enjoy that, even though it's not widely. So I don't know. I feel bad, right? Because
I do too, because
Dozier's,
I like those guys.
right? And Swinging Door, and Swinging Door closed last year, and that was another historic barbecue joint that had served people for more than 40 years, and so we're kind of losing these places. It's like we've got Pizzatola's on Shepherd, which is kind of walking that same line, right? Where they've tried to update some things and tried to keep some things the same. And I just hope they're okay because I don't want to keep. I like these historic barbecue places. They're a tie to, they're an important part of our food legacy. And I would, so.
Let me tell you about Good Company. You mentioned Good Company. Good Company, I think Good Company does something that a lot of them don't do. So Good Company has found a way to stay true to what they always do, but then maybe kind of elevate, but not too much, right? Because I go to Good Company at least once a month and get the chicken because most people aren't doing barbecue chicken, right? I go to Clarksburg and get barbecue chicken. That barbecue chicken, I mean, it's amazing. I'm like, it's still just as good as it was when I was as a kid, right? But I'm not going there to get, like, I don't expect their brisket to be off the chain. But some days I may get brisket and it's solid brisket. It's not good brisket. I'm just not going there to get that. But if I get it, I'm not disappointed, right? So I think to your point, Dozier's may, I didn't even think about that until you said it, may have suffered from a lot of people don't old school, or it's like, I don't want it to change too much. It's nostalgic. It's this. It's I come here because it feels good and familiar. So I hate to see it.
Yeah, we hate to see it. And Jess Timmons, who's a hasn't been on the show, but is kind of a friend of the show, is someone that you and I both know pretty well. Was working with them, trying to kind of get some marketing down, trying to get the word out a little bit, get some more people in the door. Obviously, it wasn't successful, and so she's going to work with the she's working with the former employees or the soon to be former employees to help them find new jobs. And of course, she knows everybody having, worked at Landry's for a long time and Cherry Block and the Redneck Country Club and everywhere else. So I, at least at the very least, they recognize an obligation to their employees to kind of help them have as soft a landing as possible, even if that's not, even if that's not in barbecue. All right, let's move on to topic number two, a second closing to talk about Pastore Italian Kitchen, the Underbelly Hospitality's Italian restaurant. That is that was located next to Georgia James, their steakhouse. Again, this is one of those situations where Underbelly Hospitality was very honest, and they said we just were not doing the kind of business that we needed to do for this restaurant to be viable. And it's tough because it had only been open for less than a year, and they were nominated for a Tastemaker Award. I thought, I'd written about Pastore any number of times. We've talked about it on the show. Allison Cook had just given it a pretty good review. So, you kind of hate to see this restaurant that seemed to have a lot of potential come to such an abrupt end. But let me just throw it to you. I mean, what did you think of Pastore?
Yeah, I was gonna throw it back to you because I was just brutally honest in the other. I'm gonna throw it back to you because it's a no for me. So yeah, I'm not surprised. That's what I'm gonna say. Yeah, no. No. In the sea of all the new Italian restaurants, they feel very low for me, and I haven't even gone to all of them because there are so many. But when I saw this news, I'm like, oh, I'm not surprised at all. I'm surprised that it's so soon, and for them to recognize it so soon and to stop the bleeding, like, hey, let's stop it. I feel like they cut it so soon. That's how bad it was for me. I'm gonna say that. Yeah.
You
Okay,
know,
go ahead.
I mean, there were things I liked on that menu, right? I liked some of the pizzas. I liked the crudo. I liked that porchetta was so, I mean, that porchetta was very delicious. There's not a lot of porchetta in this town. They did a spicy seafood pasta that I really enjoyed. But I do know that they kind of opened with a limited menu, right? They opened with, I think, only four or five pastas on the menu. Four or five entrees on the menu, and it's grown over time. But if you were in that sort of vanguard of diners who went last summer, and you're like, okay, I like these four pastas, but you're an Italian restaurant, like you got to show me a little more. And
Yeah.
you got distracted, or you got, or you just had other places that you liked more. I mean, we've talked about there's a dozen new Italian restaurants that have opened, more than a dozen that have opened in the last a year or two. We've talked about all of them. And so if you preferred Zanti or Lombardi or Tavola or Mimo or El
Or El
Braco,
Bronco.
you know, et cetera, and on and on, you know, I can't blame you for that. Right. And
Correct.
so, you know, everybody always says, you know, it's too much, it's too many, it's too this, it's too that. Well, it's only too many if you can't find an audience. And I think that that may have been what happened is they just couldn't, they were not telling a story that was compelling to people. They couldn't get enough people in the door. And it is
Right.
too bad because they were doing some cool stuff. But yeah, I think it's just kind of rough timing. All right. So now let me ask you this other thing, right? It's like, what does this do for your perception of Underbelly hospitality? Because they've still got two locations of Underbelly Burger, Georgia James, the steakhouse, Wild Oats, the Texas comfort food restaurant, and Comalito, their Mexico City style taqueria. And I say that asking you because I know that you and I just had brunch at Wild Oats a couple of weeks ago that we enjoyed very much.
From a business perspective, it tells me they know when to hold them and know when to fold them. It seems like it. So we're gonna go with that, okay? Yeah, so good job. As for the other concepts, they still holding, right? They still holding. I have a love irritation with Wild Oaks, and I say love irritation because when they're not listening, I need them to listen. I'm like, listen to the people, right? If we telling you we want this and y'all leaning into who are these people telling y'all to do this? But I love that they listen to the people. So, you know, I like Wild Oats. And clearly you realize I like it more than you thought because you're like, oh, you go here a lot. I do because it's right on my little jump on my way home. So I like it. You know, there's the burger, Underbelly Burgers right there. They always have a good little crowd. So I'm loving it. So it's, you know, it's all love. This is just one concept in their chain. So keep doing the things and giving us the concepts. Yeah. So
Right.
I'm not
I gotta
mad
say, I did not realize, I did not realize how often you had been going to the New Wild Oats until the bartender greeted you by name when we were there for brunch. It's like, now wait a second. How often are you going to this restaurant? And you're like, well, it's kind of in my rotation. It's, you know, so
It's in the rotation.
I do think that's a good sign, right? That you sort of
Yeah.
colloquially have been to Wild Oats often enough that it's finding its footing in Spring Branch, because we that was sort of our expectation when they decided to move it from the Houston Farmers Market to a more family-friendly kind of location. That seemed to make sense. Georgia James, as far as I know, is doing very well. I had dinner there in August during HRW. It was very busy. And then I've had other friends who have been back subsequently and reported good things. And then Comolito, my initial visits to Comolito have been positive. I know they just rolled out their brunch menu for the weekends with some of their pastries. So, I think you're basically right. I think cut the losses on Pastore, concentrate on the restaurants that are doing well, and then grow from there.
Yep, I like it.
And then
That's good.
I'll
It's solid
say,
business for me. Solid restaurant business for me.
well, and I'll say we'll get some more insight into the current state of Underbelly Hospitality next week, because their president, Nina Quincy, and their wine director, Sarah Dowling, will be my guests. Not this week, not on Thursday, but a week from Thursday. So stay tuned for that. We'll have a lot more to say about Underbelly Hospitality here real soon.
Good.
All right. And then finally, topic number three, Pizzana, a pizzeria from Los Angeles, opened its first Houston location in the River Oaks Shopping Center. It has celebrity provenance. It was founded by Candace Nelson of Sprinkles Cupcakes and actor Chris O'Donnell, who we may know from shows like NCIS Los Angeles and as the Robin to George Clooney's Batman. In LA, it holds a Bib Gourmand designation from Michelin, which is given to quality restaurants that are casual and more affordable, not quite at the star level, but still
Right.
it's better than not being recognized. They're kind of known for their, it's Neapolitan-ish. It's sort of cooks to a higher degree of doneness so that it's not soggy in the middle, which is good because nobody likes a no no American likes a soggy pizza. You want to go to Naples and eat soggy pizza as they do, then more power to you. But in this country, referencing The Departed, in this country, we want our pizza to at least be mostly crispy. So Felice, I say all that to say to you, what are your expectations for Pizzana? I mean, we just talked about how much Italian food has opened. There's been a whole bunch of pizza that's opened in the last year and even more this year. So what do you make of this?
Yeah, I love some damn pizza in Houston. Man, they gotta speak like I'm not a Houstonian. Boy, y'all love pizza. I'm not a pizza like crazy person. You know that.
I
However,
do.
it's bougie ass pizza. I like anything bougie. So put bougie pizza Houston on there and celebrity. So I have to have an opinion. So I'm excited about this. And Candace, I like her. I think she's smart. I think she gets it. So any concept that Candace Owens is behind, I'm gonna go there because she gets food and she's smart. So yeah, I have to go and kind of have an opinion on that. And I know you went to get a sneak peek because you love pizza. Like you love, 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 love pizza. It's one of your love languages. If I were to say, what's a love language that's not like one of these regular four? And I'm gonna say, oh, well, one of Eric's is pizza, right? So what did you think? 'Cause you went.
I did. I had to. I had to check it out. I had, as you said,
You
I
couldn't
had to
wait.
have an
You couldn't wait.
opinion. I didn't want to wait. I was out and about on Saturday and I just thought, let me go see, I made what I call sort of the bargain with the universe, where I thought, well, I'll drive past it, and if it's not too crowded, right? Like if the restaurant doesn't look too crowded and there's parking, then I'll stop and I'll sit and have a pizza. And sure enough, I drove past and it wasn't too crowded. And so, I did the thing. And I met their chef, who is a native of Naples, who's actually responsible for the recipes and executing everything. Talked to him for a minute. It's an impressive place. And baking the pizza, having it spend a little bit of extra time in the oven so that it gets a little more char, the flour caramelizes a little bit, it doesn't flop over in the same way that a traditional Neapolitan pie does. You can pick it up, you can give it like a slightly more robust set of toppings. Like he's doing a carnitas pizza, basically like a roasted pork shoulder. And then his wife is Mexican, so she gave him her family's salsa recipe to put on top of this pizza.
Oh.
And so it's sweet and spicy, and it's not at all like a traditional Neapolitan pizza, but it was pretty tasty. And I got their cacio e pepe pizza that's creamy and peppery, and that's kind of what they're known for, is that cacio e pepe. So I got to go back for an actual regular margarita, but I had to try the cacio e pepe. And I'll say, I would go back. I would go back for that. And so,
Oh, yum.
of course we had to get sassy in the comments. Some guys like, oh, I'll just go to Coastline. And honestly, if that's your attitude, you want to go to Coastline. Coastline makes great Neapolitan pizza. I'm not going to say anything bad about Coastline. I will say they only make it for dinner and they're only open 6 days a week. So for the rest of the time, like if you want it at lunch,
Right.
or if you just are like me and you just like to spread your pizza dollars around, right? Like sometimes I'll go to Gypsy Poet, sometimes I'll go to Romano's, sometimes I'll go to Vinny's, sometimes I'll go to Home Slice, sometimes I'll go to Gold Tooth Tony's, sometimes I'll go to Nono's and Elro and everything else. I spread my pizza
Right.
dollars around. Pizzana is going to be in the rotation.
I can't wait to try it. I can't wait to try it so I can tell you what I think. Because I love talking pizza with you because you're a pizza guy.
I am a pizza guy. All right. Please, I'm going to say that does it for the news of the week. We'll be right back with our restaurant of the week. Stick around. Police, for our restaurant of the week, I want to talk to you about Duchess. This is the new restaurant in Uptown Park. It comes to us from Uptown Sushi owners Daniel and Peggy Chang. They turned to Omar Perinay to consult on the menu. We've known Omar for many years from his time at Pesca, and then he's consulted on the menus for any number of restaurants. Omar actually joined us for dinner, sat with us, kind of guided some of what we ordered. And he said something really interesting that I want to share, because I think it's a good jumping off point. He said Uptown Sushi has been a staple for more than 15 years. And however you rank it in the pizza or the sushi hierarchy, it is a good business. It has loyal customers who go again and again, and they love it. And they're not trying to be the most avant-garde sushi restaurant, but it makes a lot of people pretty happy. And they kind of brought that perspective to Duchess. They're like, okay, we want to do kind of coastal cuisine. We want something that's going to be long-lasting, not trendy, not of the moment, but something that will find an audience and that will still be here 10 or 15 years from now. And so that's why they built this whole thing around a wood-fired grill. And so let me just ask you, I mean, what do you think? Do you think that Peggy and Daniel Chang have another durable neighborhood favorite on their hands with Duchess?
Well, you know what? Because it's the old Belvedere, if you're familiar, if you're been in Houston for a while, you're familiar with the old Belvedere. I was very excited because that's like a staple, right? Either you went there, hung out there, you know about it. So that they took that spot, which I'm like, okay, well, check mark. And then going in the place, it's so pretty, very aesthetically pleasing. So immediately I was smiling. I'm like, okay, it had good vibes, good energy. And yeah, I thought like everything kind of came together, like the flow of the evening came together. Far as we're going to get to there before I go on, you know, a full experience is a big deal. So for me, my experience was really, really good, right? From coming in all the way through our dinner, how it flowed. And again, I know our flow is not going to be normal because, yeah, Omar sat with us and kind of got us through the menu. But just talking to the ladies next to us, because they were there for a dinner party. So they kind of were, like when I sat down, kind of before you got there, I was talking to them. So I was kind of flowing and checking with them just because I knew we were going to be doing this. they were having fun, and I just kind of looked at them as if I were there with my friends and envision how it would flow. So what I'm saying is kind of as if I were at their table as well as our table. It was just kind of a good evening and had good energy, and it was like fun without being, it wasn't too loud, a good volume where you could talk, laugh, good bites. Yeah, I think it's they're onto something. For it to be so new, and for it to be so new, they had a good amount of traffic for a Friday night.
Yeah, a good amount of traffic for a Friday night where, by the way, the U of H Cougars were playing in the NCAA tournament.
Yep.
So, and they had a, I mean, they have a TV at the bar, but it's not the kind of environment where you're probably going to go to watch the game. So
Right.
with the understanding that a lot of people in Houston wanted to watch that basketball game, to have their dining room still be pretty full, I thought was a good sign. I agree with you. I think it's a pretty space. It's got kind of distinctive lighting. It's got these circular booths, these kind of big bank, these big plush banquettes, comfortable chairs. There's a lot to like about kind of it's not quite as like over the top, self-consciously Instagrammy as, Lombardi, which is right around the corner from them, or Postscript that we talked about last week. It just sort of reads as like pretty, like nice, nice restaurant. And again, I kind of feel that way about, I feel that way about a lot of the food that we ate, right? Like it's not calling a ton of attention to itself, right? It's just kind of classic stuff done pretty well. We did the snapper crudo with the little pinch of caviar on top. We did the grilled shrimp sliders. We did the octopus with the potato croquettes, the oysters Rockefeller, the Gougere and caviar, which is kind of their kind of more elevated, like slightly fancier than Riel's tater tots with caviar. Not quite as fancy as like a full dill caviar service. And then, the lamb lollipops, which were some of my favorite lamb chops I've had
Yeah,
anywhere
they were solid. They
recently.
were, we talked about the lamb chops because everyone's doing like the lamb lollipops. I was like, oh, because so many people do them and they're doing them wrong because I'm like, oh, they're gonna probably, I wasn't excited until they came out. And I was like, oh, thinking back to when was the last time I had a lamb lollipop done right? Oh, it was amazing. It was amazing. Yeah.
Right. It's they become lamb chops for whatever reason have become like this staple of the vibe dining world. And so you see them on menus all over town, and they are frequently either overcooked or under seasoned or both. And to Duchess's credit, these were spot on medium rare. They were seasoned well, and they come with that cucumber yogurt, which is basically like an Indian kind of spice. Or like an Indian, that like raita kind of condiment that's sort of tart and creamy. And it works so well with the way that the lamb chops are seasoned. I think that was my favorite thing that we ate. But then they used that wood grill really well. We had the chicken breast and the salmon and the tiger prawn and the ribeye. And I thought all of them were nicely cooked, juicy, well seasoned, all of the things. And then we had the bucatini with mussels and the pasta. Again, the pasta's like al dente, but not too al dente. The mussels were nicely cooked. The sauce was a little bit spicy. It all comes down to execution, basically. And again, with the caveat that we were invited, with the caveat that we were sitting at Omar, they were executing at a very high level. And it's just the kind of thing that's like, this is an easy restaurant to go to for dinner, I think. I mean, they're open for lunch, but it felt more like a dinner spot to me.
I would agree. Cocktails, amazing. Wine, like everything. I mean, it was a good, I'm like, oh, I can't. Funny, because I'm like, oh, I'll come back easy. And so a lot of times I'm like, oh, this is great. Well, we'll talk about places, and I'm thinking, will I go back anytime soon? I'll go back there sooner than later.
Yeah, I mean I'm with you. I think this was a good exceeded expectations, right? I wasn't quite sure what to expect from this place. The only thing we have to talk about is they don't have valet for Duchess. Now, other restaurants in Uptown Park do have valet, Etoile, Lombardy, M&S Seafood, they all have valet. For whatever reason, Duchess has not been able to work that out with the landlord to allow them to have valet. We got there at 7 o'clock and the parking lot was crazy. And I wound up parking over by the Rustic and then walking over, which in the grand scheme of things is not maybe like the worst thing that's ever happened to me at a restaurant, but is inconvenient and is something that people should think about. And then when we walked out, a couple hours later, there were all kinds of parking spots in front of Duchess. And so I just have this feeling like, and even as I walked over, of course, I circled that little parking lot in front of Duchess twice before I gave up and found another place. But of course, when I walked over, there were two spots in that lot that I could have had. So, I wish they had valet. It would be a lot more convenient if they have valet. If you are the sort of person who doesn't like to walk very far from your car to the restaurant, you will want to go early or late because if you go at prime time, especially on a weekend, you are probably going to have to hoof it. And I hope they like we talked to the general manager. He acknowledged that they want a valet, they want their own valet stand, but they haven't been able to work that out with the landlord yet. So I hope by raising this issue publicly, it works its way up whatever food chain has to happen for them to get the approval to have their own valet stand, because it's the only thing that they're missing in terms of guest experience and making people feel comfortable. And it would just it's just one of those things that I think they really need.
So for me, valet, that's why I said for my experience, it was good. I hate valet. So I was not gonna valet, but I knew when I was walking over, I was like, oh, Eric is gonna be so annoyed because he's a valet person. But I will add, for as an experience, they definitely, before he got there, the guy would say, yeah, we're working on the valet. And at that level, going over there to a restaurant like that, people, that is a part of the experience. Most people want valet, and I'm like, yeah, you need to get that worked out because, at that price point, people are going to be annoyed. You don't want to start out their experience starting out with people being annoyed. That's not a good way to start. And some people can't recover from that. So I hope they get that worked out like this week, sooner than later, because
Yeah, I
that's
mean the
not gonna, yeah, that's not gonna be good.
right. The sooner the better, right? Like, seeing Omar and having a Manhattan put me in a better mood. I
Eric was real
calmed
easy.
down. But other people are not going to have that experience. And I certainly know people who, if they had to walk from across one part of the parking lot to that restaurant, they would give up and go somewhere else. And specifically, you can cross to the north side of Uptown Park to where J. Alexander's is, that has a huge parking lot and plenty of spaces and is serving not exactly the same menu to be sure, but a very classic like American comfort food, Houston's kind of menu, and have a pretty good dinner. And so if you were kind of like, they're not the same restaurant and I view them differently, but I could easily see people just being like, screw this, and going across the parking lot and going to J. Alexander's. So anyway, I do hope Duchess gets that worked out. End of rant. Felice, I'm going to say that does it for the restaurant of the week. Thank you very much.
All right, bye, Eric.
That's it for today's show. Thank you so much for listening. Join me on Thursday when my guests will be Travis Tover and Carol Hardwick from Nickel City.